This is Sharon Steitler, the bird chick, and I am here with non-birding Bill.
Hello.
And it is our goal to podcast at some point in time throughout the year. I really enjoy podcasting.
Yeah.
But I have this whole other thing called multiple jobs on the sideline that just make it difficult. I like it. I save all these news stories, and then I'm less like, oh,
remember
I'm so ready to
podcast three times a week.
Remember when the goal was that this podcast was going to be me reading the news three times a week, and it was just going to be like
right.
a 5 to 10 minute segment? Then right. you had to open your big mouth.
Right.
And then you were like, I don't want to be part of the podcast. I'm like, it's too late.
Yeah.
You're part of this podcast, and people like you more than they like me.
And yet, here you are.
Here
still,
I am. And it's still called the Bird Chick Podcast when, like, everything I ever hear about the podcast
like
is...
the vestigial tail.
I know.
You're like the appendix.
I go to bird festivals. Where's Bill? Will you tell non-birding Bill how much I love him?
Yeah.
Emails. First of all, I love non-birding Bill.
Sure,
secondly, this is why I disagree with you.
All right. Let's, this is not going to be another epic podcast like the last one. We're going to move.
Was the last one really epic?
Oh,
I don't.
It was a super long podcast.
Oh, you know, I know it was. Here's the
tangents.
Thing. I know we did it, and it was like the next couple of days on Twitter, I was seeing things like, I don't expect dinosaur porn.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, no one ever expects that. And why are you telling me that? Oh, we talked about dinosaur porn, didn't we?
We went far afield on that one.
Well, you like going far afield.
Let's move on to the news stories, please.
All right. First, Audubon asks, why do birds masturbate?
Just like me, they want to be close to you.
That's not why anybody masturbates.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
And you're stealing that line from Twitter.
Did I? Oh.
Well, I don't know if you did, but anyway.
I'm sure. I'm positive.
All I know is that
if you start a line with, why do birds, I'm sure that that's the next thing that follows.
No, all I know is my phone started going nuts.
Right.
And I was like, why is it? Oh, I got kneeled.
Yeah.
Do we need to explain that?
You definitely do.
Okay. So, we know this guy named Neil, who has a lot of Twitter followers.
Just some guy. I don't know what he does. He's one of those losers.
I don't know. I linked
online.
To an article where they just interviewed this guy named Neil talking about environmental. It's actually a really good video interview. I liked it because this some guy named Neil, I guess who writes a lot.
Yeah. Some jerk. I think he does comic books. One of those losers. Probably lives in a basement.
Does he color them in?
Oh,
is that what he does?
Yeah.
No. So this guy named Neil, that we know.
Right.
Bless his heart. He tries to earn a living with his little comics. So, and as I understand it, I think he's married to a singer.
Can we move on to the actual story
anyway,
here?
He had, actually, somebody did this kind of impromptu interview with this guy named Neil about environmentalism and kind of hope for the future. And his thinking, it was kind of optimistic pessimism, and I think that's what he called it. But just talking about things were doing well, things were not doing well, and anyway, this guy has a lot of followers on Twitter, and I just happened to link to this thing where National Audubon asked the pressing questions, why do birds masturbate? And actually, the really funny thing is, the article doesn't really answer the question, which I thought was hilarious.
Okay.
It's just basically this guy in Liverpool is like, hey, I study fruit fly sex. No one knows why birds masturbate. I think I'm going to do it. And when I say think I'm going to do it, I think I'm going to study why birds masturbate. So,
why do birds masturbate? Because it feels good. Why does anybody masturbate? It feels good.
I think our cockatiel does it out of boredom.
Yeah, well, there you go. Well, hey, no kidding.
I think our cockatiel has writer's block, and that's why he's doing it. Because I know
that's
some people
question.
May
why do
masturbate
animals eat?
When they're...
Yeah.
Blocked, writing-wise.
Anyway.
That's
why. It feels good when you do it. That's the beginning, middle, and end.
Did I tell you that's how I figured out our cockatiel was male?
Yes. Also, somebody told us it was male because only males have orange cheek patches.
Well, granted, we got this cockatiel many, many years ago.
Right.
It's been well over 10 years, and I didn't know that much about Lutino cockatiels. And the person we got it from, number one, said the bird liked me because it was kind of nibbling my chin, which in hindsight is like, that bird was angry with me and was showing aggression. And secondly, was that it was female. And then after we had it a while, I was like, I don't know. Those cheek patches look awfully orange. And then our bird started pleasuring himself on perches and toys in his... And then I started reading more about cockatiels, and it's like, oh yeah, if it's masturbating, it's a male.
No.
Also, bright orange cheek patches, right. Both of which our birds have.
So, mystery solved for this question, why do birds masturbate? It feels good. Let's move on to the
next. No, but that's the funny thing about this article is that it's not even about why do they do it. This guy just from Liverpool is like, hey, I've studied fruit fly sex. No one studied bird masturbation. I'm going to study it. Here's the thing. You never see wild birds doing this.
See, you know that this guy uses this like as an opening line at bars.
I study fruit fly sex?
Yeah. No, he opens it, sidles up like, hey, do you know why birds masturbate?
No, why?
No, the correct response to that is to get up and walk away from the bar.
I don't know if you've had enough drinks. That could be an interesting conversation. Yeah. Now I'm trying to imagine if that line would work on me in a bar.
This is going to be coming up. Is this guy's in England? Did you say he was English?
I just saw Liverpool. Oh
Liverpool.
Oh, wait, okay. He's a biologist at the University of Liverpool in England.
So, yeah, I can only imagine this is going to come up in the next election cycle, is that your tax dollars are being used to study why birds masturbate.
Well, not American tax dollars.
Well, still, they believe it. Okay, I'm sorry to, I don't want to wreck any fantasies. They do have elections in England.
Really?
It's not just, the Queen doesn't just appoint a knight to rule over the various
I didn't think
districts.
She appointed, I thought, like, yeah, no, Princess Kate don't. Just pushed out a ruler.
No, they don't, run around and have the local sheriff hold peasants upside down and shake them.
Then
until
why do we care about
out.
The royalty over there?
Well, there you go. All right. So,
anyway, Tom Price. Right. He wants to know why birds masturbate. Right, he has a Tumblr survey, so you know it's for real.
So
anyway,
he wants the birds to answer the
it's
survey.
No, it wants you. But anyway, it's hilarious because Audubon was like, isn't it great that Neil guy linked to this? I was like, oh.
Right.
Yeah.
So are you done saying masturbate, or do you want to say that a few more times?
I want to say, what are some of the fun, what is it like, shining the bishop?
It's beating the bishop.
Oh. Shining sounds nicer.
It's polishing the knob. All right, let's move on to the next story, please.
Why can I not think of all the metaphors that happen for masturbation? I knew them all, like the back of my hand when I was a teenager.
No, you're doing it wrong if you're using it like the back of your hand.
Maybe not. Maybe I just want to mix it up tonight.
Moving on. Do we have any actual bird-related stories to talk about?
Rainbow lorikeets are eating meat.
Okay.
Leaves bird experts astonished. So, rainbow lorikeets. Maybe you've seen them in zoos.
I love that cartoon.
Rainbow lorikeet. That was not the Rainbow Bright song at all. Starlight, rainbow lorikeet. Wishing in the moonlight, sunbeam, sparkle and shine. You'll always be a friend of mine.
All right.
Nobody remembers Rainbow Bright. Yeah. Anyway, rainbow lorikeet. It's a very colorful type parrot from Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you see them in zoos, and you know if they're in zoos because the zoos will give you like this little dish of nectar, like you would give a hummingbird. And then the lorikeets come down to you as if you're a golden god and just, suck the nectar out of your hand. Right. So lorikeets, they're kind of like bees. They like nectar. They like pollen.
They're tiny. They live in hives of tens of thousands.
Well, they don't live in hives. Yeah.
They'll sting you if they get angry.
They'll bite you.
Yeah.
Unlike bees. Bees do not bite you. Bees sting. But anyway, this guy has his bird feeder in Australia, like you do.
Mm-hmm.
Only, he wants to attract things like kookaburras. And if you want to attract kookaburras to your bird feed, you can't just put out birdseed. You have to put out mate. My Indiana Hoosier accent's coming out.
You tie your mate to a post, and that attracts the kookaburras.
Can I get all white mate with that place? Yeah. Wow, my Hoosier accent is really coming out tonight. So anyway, he's putting out mints.
Mints or meats?
Well,
mincemeat.
Originally, mincemeat was a meat pie.
Right.
But now it's not really a meat
pie. Okay, because when you say he's putting out mints, that sounds like he's putting out, like, he's turned down the bed for the birds. And as a complimentary service, there's a little Andy's mint there.
He has put out mints, pets. It says pets mints. P-E-T-S.
You need
space,
to say mincemeat.
M-I-N-C-E. He's put out pets mints for magpies.
Are you having a stroke right now?
No, I'm just reading the freaking news story.
All right.
So it says, But yes, Bill owns the Elumba property.
Don't do Australian. The Australian accent. Okay, do not.
New Zealand.
No.
Crikey.
No. No.
Okay, for years, Bill, who owns the Elumba property, has put out pets mints for magpies, currawongs, and kookaburras.
All right.
Well, and so he also offers vegetarian.
So this guy's putting out cuts, like, diced meat.
So it's basically suet.
Yes.
With some actual lean meat into it. Which magpies, kookaburras.
Protein. He's putting out protein for birds that eat that. Sure, well, nothing weird about that.
All of a sudden, a lorikeet came down and ate some of the meat instead of going for the nectar and pollen that it would normally go for, and it really liked it.
That's okay.
And then all of a sudden, the other lorikeets were like, hey, this is pretty cool stuff. Right. We're going to keep eating this.
And this is this the first recorded
instance of and this is the crazy thing. Okay. The lorikeets are doing it like crazy, and they're also chasing off the magpies and the kookaburras.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay, that's interesting.
So all of a sudden, ornithologists are like, we have no explanation for this. And in the story, you look at his backyard with the bird feeders. There's lorikeets all over the bird feeders, and there's some that are just really disturbing of the lorikeets with kind of like our bird after it's been eating scrambled egg in the morning. It just has, the egg mustache. So these birds have the mincemeat mustache.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, that is fascinating. If a nectar-eating bird has started eating, raw protein, that is fascinating. I hope that we get more study out of this. I don't think that we're in danger of having these birds attack, hikers.
I feel like when it comes to cytosines, that it is a matter of time they learn how to eat us.
A few years ago, we first heard about deer eating, meat.
I think that's something that's been going on a long time. Yeah. We're just actually seeing it now. Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying with this is I think it's,
I would feel like with lorikeets, you would have seen lorikeets on carcasses. Just I feel like this is the first time lorikeets have discovered meat. And I don't know if it's going to end well for them. I mean, if you've evolved...
You don't think their digestion can handle it?
Yeah, I don't know if in the long term they're going to live. Because in captivity, they already have issues. Like, you have to be very careful with lorikeets because, you can overload them with fattiness.
Well, yeah. Well, okay, so they eat fatty food in captivity?
This is not even a matter about them eating fatty food. This is a matter of them... You're a vegetarian bird, and now all of a sudden you're eating meat.
No, but you're saying that people have given lorikeets fatty foods in captivity. So what are they eating in captivity that's got a lot of fat in it?
I don't know exactly. I just know that with cytosines and with lorikeets in particular, you do have to be very careful with their diet not to overload them. Because, a nectar-rich diet, and they don't have as high a metabolism as hummingbirds.
Okay. Well,
this would be like all of a sudden someone decided, I'm going to put this meat milkshake outside next to my hummingbird feeder.
That sounds delicious, by the way.
It really does. And all of a sudden this hummingbird was like, I'm going to sip that. Ooh, this is really good. And then you have hummingbirds drinking beef slurry. Sure, it may be awesome for them right away, but can they live long term with that? Okay. I think this is a sign of the zombie apocalypse, and it's just a matter of time before these come zombie-keets.
No, that doesn't make sense, because then the lorikeets would be eating the zombies for the fat.
Which we've talked about before. I think it's a matter of time until these lorikeets are just going to eat human flesh.
All right. Well, that's your new movie, and if anybody wants to back us on Kickstarter for this, let us know.
All right.
What's our next story?
All right. In the last podcast, did we talk about the guy?
You've got to develop the story more than that.
Okay, the New Hampshire legislature where the kids were like, hey!
Yep, we sure did.
Well, there's been an interesting development since then. John Oliver.
Yep, of Last Week Tonight with John Oliver on HBO. We actually watched that episode.
Is that seriously the name of his show, is Last Week Tonight?
Yes, because... It's a live show they do on Sunday night where they cover the week's news. So it's called Last Week Tonight. It's like This Week Tonight or Last Week Tonight.
Okay. I think it is Last Week Tonight. Yeah. It's just that title. I just prefer to call it the John Oliver Show.
Sure.
But anyway, if you have HBO or HBO Go, you can watch this. He covered this. And John Oliver is actually a really funny show because he talks about things that are really messed up and goes into monologues about how messed up they are.
They go in depth.
Yeah, they go in depth in how messed up things are. So he talked about this, and he decided to make the Red Tailed Hawk the official show.
Yes, they made the... Yep.
The best part is the video they made about the red-tailed hawk. Because first of all, it's like this up-close, tight shot of a red-tailed hawk screaming with the actual red-tailed hawk call. It's like, oh, you sold me.
Yeah.
And then they sell the rest of it as if it's a monster truck ad.
Right.
And it's so beautiful that it makes me forgive things like a third of the hawks in the video are Harris's hawks.
Right.
But it's just, he got the red-tailed hawk call, right?
Yeah. And they had one, they had a live bird on the show.
Yes, they had an actual red-tailed hawk
on
the show.
John Oliver was noticeably anxious about standing right next to the bird.
Well, he was standing on the wrong side of the bird. Right. He should have been on the other side of the handler. Well, you never want to be behind a bird.
Sure.
Pro tip.
So, all right, is there more to the story than
that? No, I was just saying people should watch that. I will say I see a news story today that I think the mayor of that town was like, oh, hey, kids, we're really sorry that happened. Mm. We want you to come back. And you know what? We've kind of reattached the whole red-tailed hawk thing to this bill we have about making the bobcat the state animal of New Hampshire, so maybe it'll get voted through. Mm. The thing is, I had no problem with the state, what was it, a legislature?
Right.
Telling the kids, it's kind of a waste of time. We're not going to do this. That did not bother me so much because I feel like that's a lesson in government. Sure. What bothered me was the guy that wanted to compare the red-tailed hawk to Planned Parenthood. And I was like, that's inappropriate with fourth
graders. Here's the thing is that rather than just voting it through, they decided to waste more time talking about how this was a waste of government time.
I mean, I'm just willing to say that, you know, you invite the fourth graders have come, you've applauded the fourth graders for being there, government. Yeah, we're not going to vote this through because this is kind of a waste of time, vote no. But the one guy that just went on this whole grandstand.
He was clearly a terrible human being who was trying to get...
You don't tell fourth graders
that. The guy was clearly trying to grandstand for his, you know, fundraising goals or whatever, you know, just to get, you know...
And what he was doing was, he compared the red-tailed hawk to Planned Parenthood, which is inappropriate with fourth graders. You know, I don't care where you stand on that issue. Clear. I just want to reiterate, that's inappropriate with fourth graders.
All right.
Inappropriate.
But, yeah, so, but they were just wasting more time.
They did waste him. I'm more angry that he brought up...
You can say Planned Parenthood again, because you can say that, you know, if you want to.
I want to say what he was really bringing up, but I don't, because I don't want this to become that podcast. But it's just that... Fourth graders don't need to deal with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like as a kid, I was kind of with it. God, I sound so old by saying that. But, I mean, my mom...
You are old.
My mom... I am, yeah, I'm so old. My mom was a nurse. A Christian Scientist and a registered nurse, but she was. And she kind of told me all the things. As a matter of fact, I distinctly remember being in fifth grade and there were some girls on the playground that had gotten hold of a Cosmo or something like that. And they were misreading the word. They kept calling it the Virginia.
Mm.
And I just finally looked over and I said, it's vagina, not Virginia. But anyway.
And it turned out it was actually about Virginia, the state.
No, it actually turned out it was like one of the articles. I think it was about douching or something like that. But anyway, In the grand scheme of things, even in fifth grade, whatever Planned Parenthood services may be out there was not even on our radar at a Catholic school, you know, if you can imagine. I just thought it was really inappropriate to compare the red-tailed hawk to Planned Parenthood to fourth graders. That needs to not happen. That guy was a jerk for doing that.
Okay.
Anyway, fourth graders need to not... Fourth graders can be told, we're not going to make the red-tailed hawk the state hawk, because that's a waste of time. But they don't need to know that it's comparable to Planned Parenthood.
All right.
Which I don't think the red-tailed hawk is comparable to Planned Parenthood. Let's be clear there. Anyway, it was wrong on several reasons.
Well, they both receive federal funding.
Red-tails don't get federal
funding. They're controversial, you know, endangered.
Okay, so if we're going to go down this
migrate... All right, enough of that nonsense. What's the next story?
Okay, so I got a tweet from a Derek Reese, who found a book from National Geographic, I think, How to Speak Cat.
Mm.
How to Speak Cat.
Sure.
And so he also took a quote from the page about cats being outdoors, and it's like, you know, some people keep their cats inside for safety reasons, but others do it because of a recent research study. It's a highly controversial study that blames cats for killing billions of birds a year and potentially making some species extinct.
This is a really long tweet.
Well, this is the screenshot of the book. And it's like, you know, more research needs to be done. If this concerns you, understand that well-fed pets often pounce half-heartedly and they go away empty-pawed. Loss of habitat is a way bigger threat to birds. Okay. This is irritating on so many levels because I have books from National Geographic, who put this cat book out there. It's like, oh my god, there's a study out there that says cats kill billions of birds. You need to leave your cats indoors. Don't leave your cats outside. And it's like, National Geographic, what's going on? You used to be kind of like our base of knowledge, and now you're not. You're just putting out contradictory information.
Well, first of all, the whole thing about cats indoors is in flux. I believe cats should be kept indoors. I've had several cats as pets. I would never imagine letting them, you know, run around to do whatever they wanted. But obviously there's more than one person at National Geographic. It's a huge organization. You can't expect them to have, like, one voice on every single issue.
You would think that, but I feel like when it comes to cats that, you know, cats are a non-native species in the U.S. They should be indoors. They shouldn't be outdoors.
No, I think this is probably different editorial regions. It's not
okay.
Like,
okay, this is not editorial to say that well-fed pets pounce half-heartedly and go away empty-pawed. It is scientific fact that if your cat punctures the skin of an animal, that animal dies within 24 to 48 hours from an infection from the cat because of the bacteria that they have in their claws and their teeth. This is something that you would find in a National Geographic book.
Okay.
It's they have this great field guide. They have all these great resources about bird identification, how to attract birds, general bird information, and in those books, cats should be indoors. They put out one cat outdoors book. It's like, yeah, don't listen to the other books that we've written. Yeah, it's just controversial. I just feel like National Geographic is no longer this kind of scientific thing, that it's more like the Learning Channel, aka TLC. Yeah, let's just exploit anything so we can make a few bucks on some books.
Okay, I don't have a response to that other than what I said. I mean, I don't know. I mean, as we've discussed before, this was one study, and while I agree with this study, I think it's, you know, I don't know.
I get irritated that we say, yeah, cats kill a lot of birds, but so do buildings, so do climate change, so does habitat loss. And I feel with buildings and cats, that falls into the category of habitat loss. And if we kind of get into this thing, because this is what the Viking Stadium is doing, is saying, yeah, this glass is going to kill a lot of birds.
I find it interesting that everybody who disagrees with you draws out their vowels when they give their presentations.
Yeah. We're not going to do that.
Can you...
We took, like, the boss for the office space.
6 o'clock tonight, please.
Yeah, if you disagree with me, you sound like the boss from Office Space.
Yeah. That's going to be a problem.
You know,
it's like when everyone disagrees with me, it's like they suddenly talking like this. Like, I really don't understand why that happens. It's like I'm amazed that 100% of the people.
It's kind of like me in the way I read Facebook posts and emails and internet comments. It's all in the voice of Elmo Fudd.
I didn't know that.
So when someone tells me I'm a big effing idiot, I always hear it in Elmo Fudd's voice. And it's just like, oh, well. And then I meet them in real life, and it's like, oh,
now,
what?
Do you think your Indiana childhood had something to do with that?
With Elmer Fudd?
Yeah.
No. I was about to say what I think my Indiana childhood has to do with anything, but Indiana has caused so much trauma in my family this week.
All right. And in the spirit of reconciliation, let's move on to the next story.
I would just like to say that this particular podcast, We Serve Anybody. Whatever your...
Everybody gets served.
Everybody gets served. Whether you're... No matter what your gender preference is.
You step
to
this podcast, you're going to get served. You step up to this podcast, you're going to get served.
This podcast serves anybody. Whether you're gay, straight, bilingual.
Except people from Iowa. Screw them.
Well, that's just a Minnesota thing. Minnesotans don't like Iowans. And now that we've been in Minnesota this long. You are in Iowa.
What do you got for me?
Scrunchies Speaking of Indiana, scrunchies.
All right.
Apparently, you can put a scrunchie around a cat's neck, and it is supposed
We've talked about this before.
Did we talk about this on the last podcast?
I'm almost positive.
Let's really feel like you and I have talked about this online, but we have not talked about it in person.
Because
you and I talk
online, a
lot. Yeah. And I just want to alleviate everyone's fears who, like, sees people in restaurants, young people, and just like, oh, they interact
with
their
phones.
You're not
young people.
No, but I feel like we need to, like, explain to people who don't use phones what's going on. When you see two people on their phones in a restaurant that are sitting at the same table, they are most likely A, sharing information with each other, and B, gossiping about you. Because that's what you and I do when we're
sure.
on phones in the restaurant. It's like, oh, did you just hear what I'm pretty sure. It's 6 o'clock and he just said he has an early morning. Mm-hmm. He is ending that date.
Yeah, the problem is when we're in restaurants talking to each other, I start talking like this. What do you want to order?
It's like your voice is really annoying. Can you just text that to
me?
Anyway, somebody has a study has said that you can put a scrunchie on your cat. Good luck finding a scrunchie right now because scrunchies have been out for quite some time. Oh God, are scrunchies coming back?
I've never noticed the lack of them when I go to the drugstore.
Which drugstore?
Any of them. Walgreens, CVS.
I think you're making that up because I go into the hair care aisle quite a bit because I care about my hair.
They're not on the hair care aisle. They're in the they're in the point of purchase displays at the end of the aisle, which is where I see them when I'm trying to find, like, coffee.
Anyway, a new study has found that putting a brightly colored scrunchie on a cat's neck prevents it from killing wildlife.
This has the additional benefit of making your cat look like an Elizabethan poet.
The best part is the picture of the cat in this study with the scrunchie on it. It just looks...
No, we talked about this because somebody had invented a particular, like, ruff
that's
for a cat.
That's different.
Okay, well, that's what we've talked about before.
Yeah, it is. This is, a Murdoch University PhD candidate, Catherine Hall, spearheaded the research, which observed that the behavior of 114 cats in 2 years...
Does this particularly affect the effectiveness of the cat if the cat is going to the mall to hang out at the One Potato Two or the Hot Sam's?
So apparently if the cats are going to get an Orange Julius,
right,
they are 54% less likely to kill birds, reptiles, and amphibians.
Because they totally heard that Jeremy was hanging out at the arcade.
Jeremy Jordan.
All right.
That is a reference no one is going to get.
Oh, more people than you realize are going to get that reference.
Oh, God.
So, now, here's the obvious question. Every time I see a cat collar, it's always breakaway because you assume that cats jump a lot and collars get caught and will strangle the cat. Is there anything in this at all about cats being strangled? I always assumed that was apocryphal. I can't imagine a cat getting into a situation where a collar will get, but I'm sure that we'll get, I heard from my sister's cousin's brother that...
Let me say this, I've seen far more birds strangled in the wild than I've seen cats. I've never seen a dead cat, strangled.
The hell is strangles a bird? What's a bird doing?
Birds get strangled all the time. OMFG, have you never seen this?
Is this a killer that's going around?
No, they get tangled up in fishing lines.
Oh, well, sure. I mean,
or they find some kind of long string to build.
But no, I mean, that's always just the thing with cat collars is they're breakaway. I never see that with dog collars.
No, no. Have I ever told you the disturbing nephew story?
No, I don't want to hear this story.
No. I'm not, okay. Let me just tell you this part. Because I've just told you that birds get strangled. My nephew, Brian, like, came in one day and was like, there's a grackle that got strangled in some nesting material outside. Apparently, she couldn't handle motherhood. You go out there, the grackle had been building a nest and had some, like, long material, which is what we've been talking about all along.
Okay.
But I just found it very disturbing that this little kid was, like, made a joke, like, oh, she couldn't handle motherhood. And I'm just like, that's a very funny joke, but also, it's really disturbing that you're making that casually about a bird.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you see birds strangled all the time. I never see a cat I see cats run over.
Great.
I don't want to talk about this in the sense that I'm looking for dead animals.
Sure.
But when I see dead animals, I notice and I observe it.
Obviously you do.
And I'm just, like, thinking in my head of all the ways I've seen various animals die. And when it comes to cats, I've never seen a cat strangled.
Okay, so to get back to the original story, if you put... If you give a cat a scrunchie, which is my new children's book, by the way.
Give a cat a scrunchie!
Yeah. Now, how are the cats affected if you give them multiple swatches?
I don't know. This says, because it's based on color and visions, Kath won't be able to learn that it stopped working and birds are going to be able to see it.
Also, cats are idiots. Let's be honest.
I really think this scrunchy thing on cats is a ruse. I think this is being put out there by people who secretly hate cats and want them to be humiliated. I don't see the whole scrunchy thing working, really.
Okay. Or maybe it's by the Scrunchy Corporation.
It may be.
Maybe that's how they're targeting their...
You know what? Here's the thing. If you are a bird lover and you let your cat outside, even if you say you never see your cat kill a bird, they're totally killing shit.
What if you put a cat in Zubas?
Then you have an internet sensation.
What if your cat was wearing a hypercolor t-shirt?
Then your cat would be a star.
Okay, what if your cat was wearing one of those Dido t-shirts, those Fido Dido t-shirts?
I have not thought about Fido Dido since 1997. I'm serious.
What if your cat was wearing one of those enormous Johnson surfboard t-shirts?
I'm sorry, I'm still dealing with Fido Dido right now. It's all coming back to me. It's very traumatic.
Alright.
I want to spray you with water to see if your shirt changes color right now.
What if you give your cat one of those hair crimpers to give it the weave?
I'm sure somebody does that that has like an Angora type cat.
Let's move on. I think we've exhausted the humor of this situation.
There's nothing else I can say. This podcast has...
Cats are taking over the podcast. What if you gave your cat a podcast?
Here's the thing. I think if you let your cat outdoors, whether or not it has a scrunchie, I think it's going to kill shit.
Sure.
I know birders who have cats. I know birders who write about how cats should be indoors and let their cats outdoors.
Oh, sure.
Cats outside are going to kill shit.
Yep.
And I wish you wouldn't let your cats outside. I'm not going to be able to stop you from doing that. I'm not going to be able...
I am.
How are you going to stop people from...
Oh, I have ways. Don't you worry. You're going to see the bill signal up in the clouds. You're going to know that I'm out there somewhere.
Suddenly have, like... Who's the guy that does all the Batman music?
Hans Zimmer?
Blah, blah. Instead of doing like that, it's like... Meow, meow.
Bum, bum, bum. Meow, 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 meow,
meow, meow. That's the new bat signal.
And suddenly the criminals look up and start running down the alley in terror.
I love tuna. I love turkey.
No, it's I love liver because the rhyme is meow mix, please deliver.
Oh, is it? I love tuna. I love liver. Meow mix,
please. Yeah, as deliver. I just said. Yeah, the thing I just said.
I know.
Two
I was trying to
ago.
Make it work in my head. Podcast is the worst. Why do people listen to it?
Bird Chick Podcast number 187.
I guarantee no links will be anywhere.
For Sharon, and why wouldn't you have questions for Sharon? You can talk to her on Twitter where she is at Bird Chick. You can email her. She is Sharon at Bird Chick.
Nobody talks to me on Twitter anymore.
Well,
they can talk to me on Instagram. Yeah. People talk to me, they talk to me on the Bird Chick Facebook page.
All right.
Don't look for me privately on Facebook. Because I will just make you angry, as I just did to many family members this week.
She did me. All right. Birdchick 187. If you have any questions about the links, go to birdchick.com. Look for the blog 187. The links will be there. We will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.